Moncho Sanchez leading his band with Afro-Cuban Fantasy from the album of the same name, released in 1998. Moncho Sanchez is a Mexican-American conguero and band leader and singer and arranger and the youngest of 11 children, born in Laredo, Texas, and grew up in California, heavily influenced by Afro-Cuban music, specifically that of Tito Puente and Mario Bauza, and the works of Dizzy Gillespie and Charlie Parker in particular. Great, great music from Moncho Sanchez. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. It is Monday, April the 7th, and today, talk about democracy. India begins its voting process today, in which an estimated 814 million people are expected to cast their ballots. So whenever we hear about the great democracy, just keep that in mind. After 10 years at the nation's helm, Prime Minister Manmohan Singh is stepping down. He's not seeking re-election. And from Malaysia comes word that there are hopeful signs about locating Flight 370, which was said to have ended in the Indian Ocean. So they're picking up pings at some points, and they're trying to get closer to those points to see whether they can locate the so-called black boxes, which are actually orange in color, that contain the recorded communications between the plane and its various locations that are controlling it as it follows a flight path. So they're trying to locate the wreckage of Flight 370. Well, I wanted to talk today about the National Urban League. It issued its 38th annual report on the state of Black America. And surprise, things don't look so good. You know, after a while, I don't mean to sound so sarcastic and jaded, but after a while, I mean, this being the 38th annual report, it is pretty much no news as to what is the state of Black America. And now they have also gone into looking at the state of, as they're calling it, Brown America, meaning Latino communities across the nation. Well, the report was issued last week on the 3rd, and it got its requisite amount of attention. Media all covered it, major media covered it. And amazingly, they all focused in on exactly the same points, which means, of course, they didn't actually read the report. They read the synopsis provided about the report. Almost exactly the same issues were reported in all the reports that I saw. Now, it's one thing to say that, you know, they're doing a service, and I don't mean in any way to say, well, they are of no use to the community. That would not be true. But I am suggesting that they need to re-examine their function. Why? Because the National Urban League seems to have developed a certain kind of affliction. It believes it can actually be a neutral advocate. I don't know how that is done, but it has taken great care not to offend anybody. And so the potency of the information that they wish to communicate, which is about the dire circumstances in particular communities, that should not be experienced. if indeed the United States is interested in any modicum of equality and justice and all the other blather that we hear about a lot. You either are an advocate or you're not. If you're an advocate, you can't be neutral. But the National Urban League has become something of an anomaly, just like the NAACP and many of these other organizations of national stature, who refuse to lock horns with the system, refuse to point at what the problem is and who's causing the problem. Now, you can't tell me that in the 38th straight year that you're producing a report that over and over and over again says exactly the same thing, varying only in degree of intensity of suffering. But there is the same report, essentially the same situation. People are suffering, people have not achieved full equality and all of that, and they put the figures that people well know. I mean, you could get monthly and weekly analyses from and statistics from the Bureau of Labor Statistics or from the Census Bureau and other such governmental agencies that monitor these things on an ongoing basis. So we don't have to wait for a whole year to find out what is known on a week-by-week, month-by-month basis. So what is the point of putting out these reports that tell us that this year, 2014, is really substantively the same as 2013 in terms of the subjective conditions under which African Americans and Latinos are living across the United States? What is the point? Now, I know the board of directors would be impressed with the fact that another report has been issued, and a lot of donors would be impressed that another report was issued. This is testimony to the fact that you are doing something very good, a very beneficial service. But let's talk about what is the point. What is the point of repeating the same thing year after year after year and just changing the figures around, except that what has to be reported is the fact that there is not much progress from year to year. And things are becoming very, very, it's a dicey situation. Do we need a report for that? What is the point of your report? What is new? What are you measuring that that is unique to you as an organization? And to what use would you put that information? We don't get those kinds of things happening in these reports. But I'll tell you something. Organizations like these, the National Urban League, the NAACP, and so forth, you can't help but see how intertwined, how interlocked they are with the political system that is causing the problems. And because they are deep in the pockets of the Democratic Party, they can't allow themselves to be critical of the party. They won't do it. So they take the improbable stand of being neutral. We're publishing figures and say things are bad, but we ourselves are neutral. And then they're going to hide behind the provisions of their 501c3 status to say, as a nonprofit organization, we cannot take political positions, which is cowardice. If the reason behind all of this energy and money being spent and all these people with degrees that are employed at the National Urban League to take numbers that have been existing for a while and crunch them up and put them into some other form to furnish the world with yet another report reciting exactly the same thing as the previous year. If the whole point of that is just simply to please donors and members of the board, well, that's one thing. If it is all about just getting your requisite 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 paragraphs worth of copy in the nation's leading journals, then you're doing fine. But if the intention here is to locate the cause of frustration, the cause of instability, the cause of inequality, the cause of all of this angst that is being experienced in the African American and Latino communities, if that is what you want to do, you cannot be neutral. You're going to have to do something. But they're not prepared to do that. It would be very uncomfortable for Marc Morial, who is the president and CEO of the National Urban League, a former state senator in his native Louisiana, and former mayor, 2 terms, of New Orleans, a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. He's not going to raise an accusing finger at a Democratic administration. He is not going to call out the president in public and say, hey, guess what? You're screwing up big time. You're making life rough for a whole bunch of people because of your own myopia. You're not seeing what it is you need to do, and you're not listening to what people are telling you to do. That is not the role that the president of the Urban League is going to take, because he has particular ambitions. Well, one of them might have to do with the fact that he was just appointed to by the president to be a member of the President's Advisory Council on Financial Capability for Young Americans. Well, it's something. But it says to the public that all of this song and dance about being an organization that is about advocacy, you're about causing an unwilling system to really live out the true meaning of its commitment. You're causing the President of the United States to be true to his word. You are the gatekeeper, and you are you're the sentinel. You're supposed to be raising the alarm when things are not going right. You're supposed to be criticizing the heck out of policies that are just not doing the right thing by the people. But when you get appointed to a little advisory council and you have ambitions, you certainly don't intend to end up being president of the National Urban League for the rest of your life. You now have to make a judgment call. Do I protect my interests or do I protect the community's interests? And you make a decision. My interests every time. I have a position of national stature. I have a great deal of credibility behind me. I head up an organization that is well funded. And in the tradition, the old neoliberal tradition of, let's see what we can do to help the dark folks. So I'm not about to risk my political future by telling the truth about anything. I am not here to point fingers at anybody. I'm not here to make waves. I'm here to make it look like we are doing something. We're studying the problem. And here are the statistics. Shows that we've been studying quite a bit. And that's what they do. They study a lot of things. They even study the studies that study the studies. because they're really interested in studying, you see. Not action, not calling it as they see it, not really being advocates, aggressive advocates in the interests of the people. They can't do that, and they won't do that. Now, if it so happened, I know this is going to, I'm going to get some feedback on it, but I don't mind it at all. If Barack Obama were a white man as president of the United States, were he white and Republican, there would be all over this guy, like white on rice. But this president has been given a lot of elastic by organizations whose job, whose professed purpose for being is to see to the interests, to safeguard the interests of the community. Their job is to attack these flawed policies. Their job is to make sure they make a huge noise. That's their job. The last person at the National Urban League level who did that, I would argue, was Whitney Moore Young Jr., who was president of the National Urban League in 1961 until he died in a drowning accident. He drowned in Nigeria. At least that's the story. There's a whole lot of confusion about that. 10 years later, in 1971. Whitney Young was part of the March on Washington for jobs, justice, and freedom. And since then, the National Urban League has become quite comfortable being a sort of neutral observer. They will have conventions, and they will have meetings, and they will have conferences. And they will be pointing out problems, not because they're going to bring it to the attention of the president, where the problems begin. They'll just have these things so that they could leave wherever the venue is and say, well, you know, I was at the conference of the National Urban League. Were you there? Were you there at the conference? Do you remember such and such and such? And it serves as nice little chit-chat at dinner. But the ammunition that such a study should give these leaders to confront this president about the fact that he has been a complete menace to black people, to all people, but especially to African Americans, Latinos, and others who voted for him because they believed in their hearts and souls that things were going to get better. A whole report you just put out last week says, nope, they're not getting better. In fact, they're getting worse. But you will not say that publicly because that somehow might compromise your political ambitions. And that's the story of what is happening in huge sectors of American society. People who are being clobbered every single day by unemployment, lack of opportunity, rotten education, their children are going to rotten schools. And by the way, this report just happens to endorse the core curriculum that African-American educators say is bad news. Mark Morial says it's great. They're very happy to underscore it because guess where it came out of? That's right. Your favorite education secretary has come up with a whole new way of looking at things. African-American and Latino educators across the country are uniformly against it. I don't think Mark Morial or the National Urban League even bothered to talk to these folks to find out what is it about this core curriculum that you don't like. And they've been quite prolific about what they don't like. I wanted to point this out because this is a huge systemic problem in terms of leadership that fails suffering people over and over and over again. You play these kinds of games. Well, look, we did a report. Okay, you did a report. It said the same thing last year. You know, you said the same thing the year before. The report this year is, the title is, I believe it's Unemployed, Underemployed America, right? One Nation Underemployed, Jobs Rebuild America. Okay, well, that's nice. The title of your report last year was Redeem the Dream, Jobs Rebuild America. Okay. The title before that was Jobs Rebuild America, Putting Urban America Back to Work. Are you sensing a repeat pattern here? Now, if 3 years in a row, and you know, it goes back, it's the same theme, which means this is evident. This is painfully evident what the problem is. It's been said in 400,000 different ways. But okay, you're entitled to restate it. But what are you doing about it? Now, the Urban League would respond, well, we have programs that we are conducting at the local level. Yes, in the good old-fashioned neoliberal way to say that we are hoping that we can correct these massive problems with a limited amount of resources and personnel. And the people we are helping are but a fraction of the people being harmed. But in your head, because you're operating with a foundation mindset, well, look, we have our programs, and we see how well we're doing over here. We have 10 programs, and all together, I think we have about 4,000 people. Well, great. Compare that to the population that's actually suffering. You look good as an organization, and it's fantastic for your donors and members of your board, and maybe even for your ego. But it does not address the systemic problem and the cause of the systemic problem. Here we have a Democrat refusing to confront the Democrat, the top Democrat of the United States, and the Democratic Party for failing, absolutely failing, Black people and Latinos specifically, since these are the constituencies that you address in the famous report. We know where the problem is. We know who is not doing the job. But you wouldn't say it. Instead, they would do these little kind of dances, you know, to dance around it. Well, we can't be too political. We can't be political at all. You're not being political. You suppose the reason you're doing all of this statistical analysis, repeating the same theme for the past umpteen years, since the first report 38 years ago, I am positive you reported that there was underemployment, and here we are, still reporting and discussing underemployment of Black people. Here we are discussing inequality in 2014. But they will not confront the source of the problem. They conspire among themselves to pretend that it isn't Barack Obama. It isn't his administration. He is not the solver of all problems. But had this been a white president, I don't think they would observe the rules of politics that closely, would you? You think so? They would be all over this. Look what this president is doing, and so and so and so and so. It happens that this president is detrimental to the progress of everybody in this country, but specifically the people who put him there. He is not the gift that most people think he is. But they will not call him on it. They're writing these reports and making a big deal that they've issued yet another, the 38th annual report that they have issued from this august body. It's supposed to do something, makes them feel good. But in the end, they're not brave enough. They're not ethical enough. They're not moral enough to say, well, here we have the goods. It's in black and white. It's in absolute numbers. We've got it. And now let's sit down and talk as to why it is in 2014, in your second term of office, these basics have not yet been achieved. What is the problem here? They don't have the guts. And they don't have the will. And here comes the very accurate assessment of the public. That to a large degree, these organizations provide employment for the well-educated African-Americans who in turn adopt the same racist and paternalistic attitudes toward those of the community who are in terrible shape. Not because they're not trying, not because they want to, but because the system is organized to make sure that they don't succeed. That's it. The man they refuse to criticize is the man who has closed up, his administration has closed down more schools in the history of the United States, and almost all of them are in black and brown communities. And you are saying in your so-called report that education is a big issue. And then you go on to endorse another program of his that African-American and Latino educators are saying it's no good for our children. You willingly embrace it. Why? Because you're playing politics. I'm a Democrat. I have ambitions. I'm not going to be out there. I'm not going to be the one to call out the president on it. We leave things as they are. I get to show for the record that I have produced yet another report about which there is no particular purpose other than, hey, look, we just have a report. That is a level of cynicism I think we ought to be public about, and I think it ought to be condemned. It's enough of this, you know, this pussyfooting that they do, these little dances that they do, these little mind games that they play. At a time when people are suffering in ways that, I mean, unimaginable suffering is going on in this country. And these folks who present themselves as leaders of the community wouldn't think twice about saying, listen, I have to make a choice here. And the choice is I have to win. So it's about me, not so much about you. They know this is report number 38, 38 years. You've been doing reports for 38 years. I will tell you what the next five reports will say. It will say exactly the same thing they said last week when they issued that report. Same thing. And it hasn't yet occurred to anybody at the National Urban League that, you know, the theme is becoming just embarrassingly regular. Maybe we need to do something more than just put it in a book. I just read you the last three reports. Same title, same observation, which means no definitive action taken. And why? Because they would have to point the finger at the titular head of the Democratic Party, Mr. Barack Obama. And they will have to now ask questions as to why aren't these things working? Why is it that only African Americans and Latinos seem inordinately affected? Why is that happening? For 38 years. And you call yourself a national organization that is supposed to be about civil rights and progress and power. And that's the game you play, thinking people are so stupid that they will now begin to have discussions on it, and people will ask questions. Well, the unemployment rate is such and such, and they're going to sound very, very clinical, very statistical about everything. Very educated people, you know. But they're playing games. And until I see or hear Marc Morial or anybody else who succeeds him, until I see and hear that these folks are really going to bat for distressed communities, you have nothing that I need. There is no reason to expect that you actually are in a position to make qualitative change for the people who desperately need it. You are just there as window dressing. You're playing the same games that they're playing. And it is condemnable. Really, it is an atrocity. Because you are yet another group of leaders who are playing with people's minds. I'm sick of it. These organizations that, you know, they walk around in their bow ties and jackets, and the women walk around in very nice suits and their pumps and looking just fine and very corporate. Yeah, very, very, very professional people. But refusing, absolutely refusing to be instruments of change. Refusing to become aggressive about it. The statistics are telling you what the picture looks like. The rate of unemployment for African Americans is the worst it has been since the Depression, and even before the Depression. Imagine that in 2014. And that does not excite you. That does not cause you to go to bat. That does not cause you to kind of conduct your own form of warfare. If you could call a news conference to present yet another report, as opposed to calling a news conference and just saying, laying it out, saying, this is going to be the last report we put out with familiar themes. We're calling for A, B, C, D, and E. This has got to stop. You mean to tell me that it doesn't bother you that all of these schools are closing, 5,000 schools in mind? By the time President Obama gets out of office, he would have done such damage to the black community and the Latino community. And you're willing still to give him the benefit of the doubt, because these are just figures. They're not connected to policy. They're just figures. You know, these distressed communities, and I keep saying this all the time, we're getting kicked all over the place. And we're accepting it. We're accepting this as leadership. This is cowardice. This is an act of I don't know what to call it. This is treachery. This is the conscious choice not to do the right thing because you're afraid to take on the Democratic Party. And it's amazing because Marc Morial's tenure with the National Urban League is almost exactly the tenure of President Obama. Same, they came into office about the same time. We've got to get this thing addressed. Let's take a break. I'll come back to your questions and calls at 888-874-4888. Listening to Lead Stories, I'm a worked-up Utrice Lead. Okay, I'm back to normal. Your calls at 888-874-4888. From Dallas, Sarah, you're on the air.
Greetings to you, Utrice. And
hello.
Yes, ma'am. Greetings to you and the PRN audience. Utrice, I'm disgusted as you are with the situation because my husband is from Louisiana, and we went through the whole spiel when Dutch Morial, Mark's father, was there as the mayor of New Orleans, and then the son, and then, you know, all of these mayors until now they finally got Mitch Landrieu to come in and be the white mayor in there. So this is nothing new with what he has done, the pandering that he has done, and everybody always like to give him a pass. And that's the situation with me, where I got frustrated and why I stopped voting completely, because I see that what we have done is that we've always elected these people because they're black, and we run on name recognition, and we think that they can do things, and then once they get into office, and we see it's like the same old team that used to be in there before, except now it has a black face. But now, as you said, we're going to stretch the rubber band some more, and we're going to bear as much as we can onto them, because we're going to do all we can so we don't embarrass the brother. We don't want to put the brother or the sister on blast. But look at what they're doing to you. They're putting you on blast. Because, as you said, the situation, now he's on this economic advisory team for the White House. So whatever he has to say, it's going to be totally biased. It's not going to make any sense because it's not going to blast the White House and their policies that they're initiating that is devastating the urban communities. It's not only our fault that we are in these areas where it's so deprived, but if you don't have the resource and if all the resources being taken out of the community and it's nothing there for these people to survive on, especially their tax base, everything is being removed from them. These people are putting money into the system. And I get tired of hearing people saying, okay, people are lazy, they're not doing anything, but you are putting money into the system, Utrice. People are working and putting money into the system, but these funds that are coming into the system is being drained and is being put other places.
But the question, sir, is what is the deal with this kind of leadership where, I mean, it's become a kind of sick sport. You know, let's look like we're doing something, but we really aren't doing anything. But we'll prettify it and make it look impressive, but we really aren't doing anything.
No, it has never been about doing anything, Eutrice. It's always been about shuffling the deck chairs on the Titanic, to use an old cliche. That's all it has been. They have been moving things around, and you get an idea that, okay, things are working out or we are doing something. But all they're doing is that they are moving the problems around, and it's not being solved, because if these people were to solve a problem, they would put themselves out of a job. They're not about solving anything, and we have got to stop looking at elected officials and these celebrity politicians and whoever they are to be the ones to come. We're going to have to do the grassroots work as we did before to solve our own problems and stop putting people in office. You're paying them these
millions. This is brought to you courtesy of the Democrats. This is a Democratic Party program. This is it. The Democratic head of the National Urban League agreeing with the Democratic head of the party. So basically, there's an agreement that the issues affecting African Americans and Latinos, especially, not exclusively, but especially.
We're the hardest hit.
You can wait. You know, just wait. Just wait a little while longer. You're accustomed to waiting anyway, and just wait a little bit longer. Thanks, Sarah, for your call.
I'm going to say, Eutrice, that is why this My Brother's Keeper thing that they pushed out here, that for the Latinos and the black boys, this is all geared up for the election that's coming up. This was about a panacea to get you on board so that you would go in there and vote for the Democratic ticket, and then after this election, you're not even going to hear nothing more about this My Brother's Keeper thing.
Well, like I said, it's one thing to be your brother's keeper. I would prefer that you be your brother's brother. How about that? Thanks so much.
You're welcome, Eutrice.
From Baltimore, Green, you're on the air.
Hello, Eutrice. How are you?
Hi. Fine, thank you. I hope you're all right.
Good. I'm not hearing you too well, but I'm going to try to ask you a question. Now, you often rail against the president.
Yes.
And so from the things you've said, I would take it that you don't feel that he is a particular friend of black people. Am I right in assuming that?
You're absolutely correct. I think he's
okay.
A disgrace.
Now, well, I don't know if I think it's a disgrace. I think it's pretty much normal. But the next thing is about the Urban League and its reports. What would you like the Urban League to do besides issue a report?
A report is a report. You know, I said, for example, they've issued 38 annual reports so far. And I just read you the titles of the last four. They're exactly the same, which means clearly they have been able, even now, to sense a trend that things are not getting better. They are uniquely situated, especially as a national organization with a very strong history. They were formed in 1910. They are uniquely situated to be agents of change for the African American and Latino communities. They're the ones that had played a role, and they can't tell me about, you know, they don't get involved in politics because they were very much about, you know, exciting the vote, making sure people got out to vote, parenthesis, for Obama. They mobilized for the vote, parenthesis, for Obama. So they were, these are operatives of the Democratic Party. And they should be able to find some way to express the will of the people and the unique needs of the people, not just a report. You know, these reports are really compilations of statistics that are already available.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they conducted their own unique reports and analysis. Based, you know, that they hired pollsters and they hired researchers and so forth to do these specific original kinds of reporting. They crunched numbers readily available, generated by the government and some of the other public policy-related organizations that do these kinds of things, and came up with a portrait, a statistical portrait, that, quote, proves what we already know. I've discussed a whole bunch of these things already on the air. We know these things. This is not news. But when you are in a position to affect policy, and when you are in a position to exercise a quality of leadership that advances the collective good of the community, and you choose not to do it, in deference to the party and in deference to your own personal agenda, that ought to be condemned. People ought to get upset about it.
Well, you know, you treat most people, and it seems like you're saying that the Urban League should use this unique positioning to be more active on the part of black folk or to lobby for changes for black people. And I think that's something that they certainly could do. But I said once before, the only friends that black people have are the Creator and those of us who would be our friends. Most people move out of, or according to the context that they believe they owe their existence to. Most of us believe that we owe our existence to America. And Ali was very much correct when she pointed out that Clarence Thomas is not our friend. Just like you're saying, Barack Obama is not our friend. But instead of disproving what I said, Ali and you continuously prove that certain people of us are not our friends. But most of us believe in America. Those of us who want to be Democrats and support the Democratic Party, at the core of that is the fact that we believe in America. America is good for us. And the Urban League isn't going to move against the powers that be because the members of the Urban League, first of all, they have a paid staff, and then they have volunteers who believe that America is good for us and we should change America, or America will change to benefit black people. So we get involved in things that really are useless as far as changing our position or the position of us in mass in America.
Well, thank you for that. Thanks. We'll move on along. Thank you so much for your contribution. It was very, very helpful today. Thank you, Green. From Philadelphia, Clara, you on the air?
Oh, thank you, Eutrice. Good to talk with you again.
Thank you. Same here.
I didn't get the point of that. But anyway, what I think is I feel the way you do, but I don't react anymore because emotionally and cognitively and spiritually, I've dismissed all of those people, the political system and the system in general. I believe that we need to start anew as I talk about individual action because no one will give us anything. We have to work within our communities, doing our own thing, growing our own food, learning how to teach our own children, possibly doing political action at the block level. That's what I'm going to do. But anyway,
you're
those
absolutely
people
right.
Up there have
absolutely
nothing
right
to offer.
But then we do have to, therefore, confront publicly, and this is the thing.
Yes.
We have to publicly confront this, this particular arrangement that does not serve the purpose of most people, but is allowed to exist and with great support, actually, and with great clout in particular quarters. In fact, that was one of my positions when Jesse Jackson absolutely betrayed the black vote. My point was there should have been a public cancellation of his policy. Just get up and say, well, fine, we walked with you, and basically, you know, you sold out. So we thank you for your service, but we're canceling your contract. As simple as that. And just keep moving.
Yes, how do we get people to see that? Like the last caller and other people who believe in the system. That's the problem.
I think once it's done and people do it with a sense not just of being unnecessarily punitive, but actually protecting the integrity of the franchise. You know, when people say, look what our forebears have had to put up with for us to vote, the point is we therefore have a duty not to have it squandered by people like this. And when it is disregarded and disrespected and these games are played, we have to be public about it and disavow that kind of stuff and say, this is not what we expect. We expect a whole different mode of behavior, a different kind of conduct.
Yes. But I also say that voting, the right to vote, was a valuable thing in the 20th century. The 21st century, it means nothing. That's what we have to get into our heads.
It's
voting does nothing.
True.
There's nothing to vote for.
That's you're expressing my opinions exactly. That's where we are, most of us. Thank you, Clara.
Thank
From
you.
LA, DX, you're on the air, and you have a couple of minutes only.
How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Good, good. I just had a short comment. It's a lucky thing, too, because your show is about to go off. So, what we have here is all these organizations, they have been infiltrated and corrupted. And I was just thinking of how all these leaders of these so-called organizations that help minorities, blacks and Hispanics, how they're all very conciliatory in nature, and they put people like this guy there because they know he's going to go along with what's going on. He's very meek, and, you know, they would never put a firebrand in. I'll give you another example. This guy with the NAACP, Ben Jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I hear him talk, it's just so mealy-mouthed and so weak. So, I mean, back in the days of Dr. King, they had leaders of the SCLC and things like that that went out and put pressure on people and did things. And I just believe they appoint these type of people like this Morial guy because they're conciliatory and all that. So what needs to happen is just totally, like, I agree with what Clara just said. We need to just treat these people like the jokes that they are. It's just a complete joke. I mean, you put out a report like this, but you're not doing a dang thing about it. It's just a complete farce, and we need to laugh at them. I laugh at stuff like that all the time. Just laugh at them, and like you said, publicly repudiate them, but then give them the verbal backhand and then laugh at them. You know, I mean, it's just ridiculous to me.
It is ridiculous, and after a while, it is really insulting that they continue to do this, and they continue to get away with it as if they have a valid purpose in doing what they do, and it's not
back,
at all a valid
purpose.
Back
to my original statement, these organizations.
That's the signal. We got to go. Thank you so much, everyone, for calling in today and participating. Stay tuned. Richard Martin comes up next with Wake Up Call. Send me a note at leadstories@gmail.com or on Facebook. Lead Stories with you, Therese Lead. See you tomorrow. Thanks.